The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
We are honored to come before your presence today, lifting up the arms of our president. We pray for your continued blessing and favor to rest upon him. We pray for wisdom from heaven to flood his heart, his mind, and Lord, you will guide him in these challenging times that we're facing today. I pray for your grace and your protection over him. I pray for your grace and protection over our troops and all of our men and women serving our armed forces. And Father, we just pray you'll continue to give our president the strength that he needs to lead our great nation as we come back to one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We pray your heavenly blessing upon him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Turns out we don't have to travel to Iran to see heartbreaking violations of human rights. It's happening right here in the United States every day at the evil hands of cartels, criminal gangs, and other twisted freaks. And the targets range from toddlers to teens. A repeat sex offender in Maryland pleading guilty to making and distributing child porn. In Alabama, five men were just busted in a child sex trafficking ring. And in New York, a 57-year-old man was charged with possessing graphic images and videos of child sex abuse. And that's just from this week. So data from the Internet Watch Foundation reveals that 2025 was the worst year on record for depictions of online child sexual abuse. And the sad truth is, of course, we have no idea how many children are being exploited and victimized in America. But we do know it's a global curse.
But victim identification is only one side of the crisis. We also face an explosion of online child sex abuse material. More than 226 million reports have been made to the cyber tip line. 226 million. Perpetrators share this material across all of the digital platforms. You know them, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all of them. But the online platforms are not required to detect child abuse material. They are not required to remove that material. They are not required to provide complete information that would help law enforcement find missing children, exploited children. Instead, the platforms get to profit off of the clicks that child sex abuse generates. And now artificial intelligence adds an entirely new dimension where older and existing images can be regenerated and repurposed. And the abuse starts all over again. This is showing the increase in the production of child sex abuse material just in the United States online. You can see this dramatic increase from 2001 to 2023. This is numbers, I think, from NCMEC. In 2023 alone, there was 104,370,572 separate images and videos of suspected child abuse reported in the United States of America.
One nation under God, as you heard there, from the preachers praying over President Trump. And then you get a dose of reality in a Senate hearing. This was from a few days ago, March 3rd. A Senate hearing on child sex trafficking. Tim Tebow was there testifying and just showing, together with Josh Hawley there, how the appetite for this filth, this perversion, this abuse, it's increasing more than ever before. As we've said so many times with the Jeffrey Epstein perversion, I mean, that story is just the very, very tip of the iceberg. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, the last show of this work week, hard to believe. You can get to the live video stream of this program at our website, thetrumpet.com, or at our YouTube channel, our Rumble channel, three different ways you can watch live. And of course, on all three of those platforms, you can watch on demand after the fact as well. If you want to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. So there's more. We had more last week. We couldn't get to it. So I guess there's more files coming out on Epstein. He had that stash of all the perverted images, the child pornography, as you heard there in this hearing a couple days ago. And it's just, you know, and a lot of powerful politicians, they want for you to believe that it's just a few, you know, kind of perverted, powerful men at the top. And that, you know, you got Jeff and, well, maybe Bill Gates, he admitted to his staff he had a couple of affairs. But that's it. That's it. I mean, he didn't know what was going on at the island. No, it was just, I guess he was playing bridge with some Russian gals. And that's all that it amounted to. You know, his family has been upended because of it, his marriage. So common. Of the hundreds of thousands of cases right across this land, I mean, as I was saying to our students this morning, there's obviously the sexual deviance, the perversion that people just have a huge appetite for. But you dig a little deeper, and what are the families like in those homes or in those areas where people are just consuming Sodom and Gomorrah on demand and they can't get enough? What does this say about the state of our family today? I'll give you some quotes later from The Missing Dimension in Sex and what Mr. Armstrong said. We've covered a lot this week about war on Earth, Ukraine, now Iran. You're not hearing quite as much about, you know, the breakout of peace. But as you saw there in the cold open, I mean, you're still hearing a lot about religion. I mean, I guess the religious revival is strong. We're one nation under God. America the great. America the blessed. Are we being blessed? Look at what we're consuming. Look at what we're filling up on. And then take a cold, hard look at this nation. You look at just one of many factors exposing our weakness, our coming downfall, just the astronomical costs for war. Every day, the effort in Iran, $800 million, another billion, about a billion a day, almost a billion a day. Is it sustainable? Do we just continue with this? And then after Iran, what's next? Cuba? Are we just going to go right around the world and knock out all these regimes, these extremist regimes? On the surface, I mean, I guess it looks pretty good. Take them out. They've been a menace. Iran's been at war with America for decades. And so many of these communist regimes, you see people suffering underneath, millions of them. It's not God's world, and man's tried every form or variation of government, human government, that there is under the sun. But meanwhile, just the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, Jesus was right. Jesus compared our day to Sodom and Gomorrah. This was Tim Tebow. He's the former NFL football player. And some of you will remember, you know, he didn't have that long of a career, but he sure got a lot of attention, a lot of negative attention, really, because he would just kneel down after games and pray. It wasn't so popular back then. Now, I mean, it's popular. You've got the preachers surrounding the president. You've got people taking a knee all over the place, not to protest against the flag, but to pray. Lots of talk about God, lots of talk about Jesus. Listen to this from the March 3 hearing, clip 5.
But the problem is that the number now is not 57,000. With all of the work that all of these people and amazing law enforcement agents and nonprofit NGOs are doing all around the world, the number is not 57,000 like we said 2 years ago. It's over 89,000. We are losing the battle and we are losing the war, and boys and girls are suffering for it. And to give you an idea of the scope of what's happening in America, there's a red dot map right over there over my right shoulder. And that's just a 6-month screenshot of the U.S. And every red dot that is on there is someone that is downloading, sharing, or distributing child rape images, almost all under the age of 12. And there's over 330 of them just in that six-month screenshot. And we know that 55 to 85% of them are also hands-on offenders, and we know that your average offender has 13 victims in their lifetime. The scale of harm right here in America is, to a certain extent, hard to comprehend. But that's why we're here. And when you knock down one of those doors, you also have no idea how many boys and girls you're going to find. From Operation Renewed Hope 1, one of the doors that was knocked down, when they went in and seized his computer, they found that he also had raped 30 other boys and girls in that neighborhood. So there's a lot of work to do.
You know, someone made a point online that here we have all this sophisticated technology and equipment that can take us right to the Ayatollah. As soon as the war starts, he's dead within an hour. I mean, he's an easy target given the sophistication of American and Israeli technology. But when it comes to the Epstein client list, when it comes to the child sex traffickers, I mean, I guess we can show you the dots. We can show you the dots on a map, but we can hardly go in and do anything about it. Maybe a few raids here and there, but for the most part, you know, the children have disappeared. And the child sex traffickers, they're all over the place. It's not just the high and mighty. It's not just the powerful and rich. It's ordinary Americans in Nebraska, in Idaho, all across the nation. One nation. Under God? Are we under God? Are we under God's authority? Is God blessing the United States? Well, there's a resurgence, a temporary resurgence. God intervened to keep the dear leader from blotting out our nation. But we're certainly seeing more of our sins exposed. Play clip four.
Several years ago, we were finishing a leadership meeting, and I looked at Camille, our VP of anti-human trafficking and child exploitation, and she had a very sober look on her face. And I said, Camille, what is it? What's breaking your heart? And she wrote down the number 20,000. And I said, Camille, 20,000 what? And she said, 20,000 boys and girls. That's the best guess of what law enforcement can see in rape and abuse images. But yet they're categorized as unknown, unidentified. So that led us to a meeting in Lyon, France with HSI, FBI, Interpol, Europol, NCMEC, Google, ONIMI, and 18 other countries to find out, okay, what actually is the closest thing to the truth? And it wasn't 20,000. It was 57,000 boys and girls in the ICSA database that have yet to be identified.
We can't identify them. We can't figure out where they are. We can find the Ayatollah, but we can't find these children who are being repeatedly abused, sexually abused, raped. And I guess we can't find most of the consumers of video rape. Human beings, adults, middle-aged adults, older men that enjoy watching this sort of perversion. One final bit from that Senate hearing on March 3rd, clip 10.
Let's have a look here at what just the Interpol images show, what we're looking at in terms of content of unidentified exploited children by the numbers. 84% of the images were of actual sexual abuse. Not simulated, but actual. 47% of the NCMEC images contained extreme abuse, including actual rape. 60% of unidentified victims are under 12. 60%. 65% of unidentified victims are girls. And almost 5% of the images were infants. These are just extraordinary, extraordinary numbers that give a sense of the scope of the epidemic that we're dealing with here.
And if you could also look, there's blue dots on there. You can't really see them, but the blue ones are the ones that are under investigation.
In a sea of red.
Isn't that a problem of what we're talking about?
It's unbelievable. It's overwhelming.
the sea of red not being investigated. But the blue ones, there's a few blue here and there. They're under investigation. So how does law enforcement get a handle on this epidemic, as you heard there? You can't keep up with it. The floodgates have opened. We're submerged underneath this filth, this squalor, this evil, this perversion. You can see why there are so many references in the Bible to a modern day Sodom and Gomorrah. This is what we're seeing. This is what we're living in. And you can put a facade over the top of it and pray all you want about blessings and strength and wisdom and prosperity and growth. But you've got to look at the fruits. I read this morning in the Gospel of Luke, they wanted to murder Christ because this is actually John 10. He said, I'm one with the Father. They picked up stones. They were gonna kill him then, 4 months before his crucifixion. It wasn't time yet, so Christ had to make his way out of there. But Christ said, look, I've been in the midst of this ministry now for more than 3 years. For what works are you going to murder me for? You know, what have I done that's abusive? What criminal acts have I committed? Where are the crimes? And they say, well, it's not for any of your works. It's because you just said something that's blasphemous. To say you're at one with the Father. And Christ quoted right out of their Psalms, the Old Testament. He said, doesn't it say in Psalm 82, you are God's? I mean, you have the potential to be God. Yes, I'm God in the flesh. I'm the Son of God in the flesh. And they wanted to stone him for that. You can see why God says, you better examine by the fruits or the actions, what's actually happening on the ground, and not what you see in a photo op where people are praying together and it looks beautiful. It's the beautiful Oval Office. I mean, it's certainly, there's just righteousness pouring forth, right? Well, I'm not saying these people aren't sincere, but look at the filth. For once, I would love to see a preacher just pray over the president and say, God, have mercy on us and lead us to repentance. We are sinning. I mean, the prophets of old, when the people were sinning, I mean, they took it upon themselves. This is my fault, said Daniel. Or Isaiah or Jeremiah. These were humble. These were extraordinary leaders for God and also humble men who understood that sin destroys. Sin makes you weak. Sin opens the door to Satan the devil and his demon army. It invites demonic influence in. And that's what we're seeing. Isaiah 3 and verse 9 says, the show of their countenance does witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom, and they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Isn't it amazing that we can know exactly where the Ayatollah is, take him out within the first few minutes of the war, and yet with the same technology, I guess we know enough to know exactly where the bubbles are on the map. But beyond that, you know, there's only a few being investigated. It's overwhelming, the weight of these Sodom and Gomorrah sins, the burden. It's overwhelming us. We're drenched in sin. And of course, pedophilia, child rape, I mean, that's just one of many. I gave a program yesterday, we recorded it. I promoted this little booklet, Repentance Toward God, Acts 20, verse 21, Faith Toward Jesus Christ and Repentance Toward God. If ever there was a need for a call to repentance in the state of Manasseh or Ephraim, the UK, now is the time. Look at how weak and feckless Congress is. And, you know, good for Josh Hawley. He's a sharp thinker. But what will come of this hearing? Is Congress going to change any laws? Is Congress going to say, you know what, that's enough? Just having it, just viewing it, that's illegal. This is not free speech. This is vile, perverted stuff that's hurting tens of thousands. It's abusing children under the age of 12, even babies. So we're going to stop it. We're going to have some control, some righteous control over what you can even view online. You think that'll ever happen? That will never happen. That will never happen. And here, as you heard Josh Hawley say, social media, for its part, they make money from the clicks. So they're not going to do anything. They're not going to turn it over to the FBI and say, hey, we've got some child predators working here on our platform. We just thought you should know. We need a few more blue bubbles on the map, because right now we're being overwhelmed by a sea of red. They show or declare their sin as Sodom. They don't even hide it. Why hide it? I mean, Jeffrey didn't hide it. Everybody knew about it. I mean, they're playing dumb now, but they knew what was going on the plane and on the island. In all of his mansions around the world, Prince Andrew coming over here to supposedly cut off ties, even as he spends the weekend with Jeff, takes a stroll through Central Park. God's word says, you're known by who you associate with, by who you gravitate toward. And we have to keep coming back to God's word. That's our foundation. As the psalmist said in Psalm 119, I mean, your promises are sure. This is what I put my hope in, my faith. What God says. Hebrews 6:19 says that his word is, his promise is like an anchor for our soul. We've gotten so far removed from what God says. We don't care what God says. I brought this out recently when we updated you on the Epstein saga, because, you know, you've got to do it like every couple weeks because it just gets worse. It's like God bringing us back to the hole in the wall in Ezekiel 8. Look, I've got to show you that it's even more abominable than you thought the first time. God's bringing us back. God's trying to get our attention. God's trying to show us that, look, this threat, forget about Iran for a second. This is a threat that's even greater than the hydrogen bomb. Verse 12, it says, as for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead you, cause you to err and to destroy the way of your paths. Children oppress, or children are abused. You've got both extremes. They're either running the show or they're lost in the shadows of sexual abuse and rape. Women rule. Men, not even mentioned in verse 12. A totally upside down society. And the leaders, they're the ones paving the way for more access to filth, to more access to perversion, to more access to family-destroying evil. In The Missing Dimension in Sex, Mr. Armstrong says, since it is a basic truism that a solid family structure is the foundational bulwark of any stable and permanent society, this fact means only one thing. Civilization as we know it is on the way down and out. Unless that great unseen strong hand from someplace soon intervenes and saves today's sick society. This downward plunge, he wrote in an earlier version of that book, it's a greater threat than the hydrogen bomb. And those hydrogen bombs are about to go off. You've got Neil Ferguson. I'll get to it in a moment. He's writing an article. Is this the beginning of World War III? I mean, he's a conservative commentator. Talking about World War III. You know, when Herbert Armstrong did that, people thought he was crazy. Well, he's a preacher. Preachers shouldn't talk about World War III. Preachers shouldn't talk about world war. We want smooth things. We want messages that just kind of tickle the ears. Things we love to hear. Just like Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, Isaiah 30, same thing. Don't give us the truth. Just give us what we want to hear. Well, where are the critics lining up to, you know, put down Neil Ferguson? What an alarmist. You know, what a Jeremiah. He's talking about World War III. And then you bring the Bible into it. Listen, stop. We don't want to hear about World War III from Bible prophecy. What are you, some wild-eyed fanatic? As soon as the Bible is brought into it, you see the hostility in man come to the surface immediately. I hate it. I hate talk about God's law. I don't want to hear about sin. I don't want to hear about repentance. I just want to hear about the fact that this is the golden age of not just America, it's the golden age of religion. We are one nation under God. Mr. Armstrong said, "We're living in a world in revolt." Well, and he wrote this back in 1981, and the evils and the sins that he wrote about then, they seem pretty tame by comparison to today's Sodom and Gomorrah sins. Are we on the right path? Are we becoming more righteous, more submitted to and under God? Or is it just the opposite? 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, it says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." This is the last days. Can you even imagine a preacher bowing his head over President Trump in the Oval Office, talking to God together with the other preachers and the President of the United States about men being lovers of their own selves and covetous and boasters and proud and blasphemers and disobedient to parents, and unthankful, unappreciative, unholy, without even natural affection, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, high-minded, vain, egotistical, arrogant. Well, that's what Paul said about the last days. I think if the Apostle Paul was praying over a president of the United States, he'd probably say something like 2 Timothy 3, particularly given the time we're in at this moment. He wrote about that in the first century, 2,000 years ago. What would the Apostle Paul say about our time right now? What would Herbert Armstrong say? His last version of Missing Dimension, 1981, then he dies in 1986. And here we are 40 years later, 40 years. And you just light up the map with all these red balloons, hundreds of thousands of cases of pedophiles viewing child rape. It's just all over the place, overwhelmed by sin. You think about some of the statistics. I mentioned 1981 for the last version of MDS. I mean, I've been teaching principles of living long enough to know that some of my notes about a snapshot of society today, some of my notes from, you know, 20 years ago, as I say, it seems tame comparatively. How do we become so filthy? So sinful, so sick. Missing Dimension says, "Family life has undergone a radical revolution." Talks about children, just being left to themselves. The proverb says that brings shame on the parents. Mr. Armstrong says parents are going to have to be brought to account for this neglect of basic responsibility. It's so basic and sobering when you think about a little child made in the image of God and that you're responsible for that child. Not just to give that child a roof and food and clothing, but to give them an education that's grounded in the scriptures, that's based on the hope of God's promises. 2 Timothy 3:13, it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse than what you heard at the March 3rd hearing. And as Tim Tebow and Josh Hawley brought out, I mean, what happened last year, 2025, so much worse than 2023. 2023 statistics, I mean, they're just out of date. And that's like, I mean, that's like the golden era of morality, I guess. Verse 14, it says, "But continue you in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them." God says to his people, you better come out of this filth. Separate yourself from this world, from the ways of this world, because it's just getting worse and worse. We've got to raise our children, build our families, strengthen our marriages in ways that they're being ripped apart and abused in the world of today, Satan's world. Paul goes on and he really praises Timothy because he had a remarkable mother, an unconverted father, but a great mother and grandmother too. And they brought him up in the Holy Scriptures. Well, how old-fashioned is that? They got Timothy, a young Timothy, grounded in the Scriptures. Who does this today? It's a danger. It's a greater danger, as Mr. Armstrong said, than the hydrogen bomb. And you know, the hydrogen bomb is a danger as well. So we're living in perilous times. Neil Ferguson, could this be the start of World War III? Inquiring minds want to know. Is this World War III we're seeing? 4 years ago, when Russia launched its full-scale invasion of Ukraine, people wondered if it was the beginning of World War III. Today, 7 days into the latest war with Iran, the same concern has reemerged. This is Neil Ferguson. Pay attention to this. He said, "It's not a foolish question." This is not some wild-eyed prophet or self-proclaimed prophet. Far from it, I presume. It's not a foolish question to consider whether or not this is the beginning of World War III. It's not, just so that you know. But World War III is coming. And Herbert Armstrong prophesied of this. My father has prophesied of this. And we've maintained this message, this proclamation, this warning, for 80 plus years. And look at how many people look at God's work or God's servants as some kind of doomsday cult. I mean, we sat across the table from Laodicean ministers when we were fighting for Mystery of the Ages, who looked at us in the eye and said, "Well, you're some kind of sociopathic cult. You're dangerous. You're like Jim Jones. You're like David Koresh." Can you believe this? Well, what are the, look at the campus behind us. We had this wonderful concert last night. This group from New York City coming in and just raving about how they were treated, the environment, the venue. What fruits would suggest that we're some deranged cult? Is it just the message that, listen, our sins are overwhelming us? and curses. We're being pounded with curses. Is that what constitutes a cult? When your house is going up in flames, is the person that's screaming, "Fire! Everything's being destroyed!" Is the messenger the problem? Or is the problem the fire, the explosion? Thank God for his warning message of love. Thank God that he cares enough about a Sodom and Gomorrah society to send a prophet, to send a message, to warn people that they're bringing destruction and suffering upon themselves. Yesterday I mentioned how unique the message coming from God's church really and truly is. You know, we don't have to throw darts in the dark and hope we make the target. God's giving us the sure word of prophecy. U.S. and Britain in prophecy, that's the framework. We need a steady diet of prophecy. It's sure. God's promises are sure. But, you know, we also need a steady diet of Christian living. We need more on repentance. We need more on character development, building righteous character, living according to every word of the Bible, like Jesus said in Matthew 4 and verse 4. Should we do that? I mean, if Jesus said that, should we do it? Or should we just talk about Jesus and never mind what we do or how we live or whether we follow his example or not? Neil Ferguson says, we have seen war break out in Eastern Europe in 2022 and then the Middle East in 2023. The most recent U.S.-Israeli onslaught in Iran may look to future historians like a staging post to a global conflagration, but I stress may, because they may also simply write about Gulf War III. And the better ones may see that this war can be understood only in the context of Cold War II. It sounds to me like there's just wars and more wars and rumors of wars and wars that lead to other wars. He's right. My base case is that the U.S.-Israeli war against the Islamic Republic of Iran cannot and will not be prolonged at the current frenetic intensity beyond a few weeks. Well, he's probably right about that. He's right about the fact that this is not yet the start of World War III. But as you've noted, hopefully, over the course of this week's of Trumpet Dailies, this week's shows, all the trends are moving in the direction of World War III. The pieces are falling in place. We produced this video a few years ago highlighting the main prophecy, speaking of frameworks, the main prophecies that will lead to and trigger World War III. This is clip two from the trumpet.
Thank you.
So there you get the rundown based on the sure word of prophecy. If you're just listening to the audio of the show, you'll have to go and see the video at one of our websites or channels if you want to read all of the graphics included in that 90-second video. It's a great synopsis of what leads into the prophesied Great Tribulation. And Jesus himself said it's going to get so bad that were it not for God's intervention, we would totally destroy human civilization. And that's only been possible since the end of World War II. With the advent of nuclear weapons, atomic bombs, hydrogen bombs, we're living in the last days. The King of the South, mentioned in that video, is radical Islam, headed up by Iran. And for all of its problems this past week, I mean, Iran is still the King of the South. Taking out the Ayatollah doesn't remove the King of the South. It just removes, you know, a Pope-like figure in the world of Islam there in Iran. This is from a journalist, Mossab Hassan Youssef. It says, what is an Ayatollah and why you can't just bomb him away? Look, people keep saying, kill the Ayatollah, problem solved, like he's a video game boss. Wrong. Ayatollah isn't a name, it's a title, like Pope for Catholics. It's the top religious leader for Shia Muslims, 300 million of them, spread across Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, India, Bahrain, even London. They just need one, not because of politics, because of faith. Kill Khamenei? Fine. His son steps up. Kill the son? Another cleric gets voted in. It's not a dictatorship you can decapitate. It's a living system. Millions believe it. You bomb their faith, you don't win. You radicalize them. That's why regime change is suicide. Topple Tehran, create a vacuum, and suddenly you've got militias, warlords, ISIS clones, everyone fighting for scraps, civil war, the smart move, don't topple, contain. Maybe he's wrong. I mean, just looking at it nationally, as I've said this week, for 47 years, Iran's been at war with America. So someone could easily argue, look, it's about time America did something. But on the other hand, just saying because this Ayatollah is gone, everything's solved, that's delusional reasoning as well. Radical Islam, headed up by Iran. That's the prophesied King of the South. And in some ways, even though Iran has been weakened this week, the prophecies regarding the King of the South and the King of the North have greatly accelerated this week. Look, you've got Iran bombing other nations in the Middle East, Arab nations, Muslim nations. And Psalm 83 says there's going to be a divide in the Muslim world. There's going to be those nations allied with Iran and those allied with the beast power in Europe, Germany. And we're seeing that come together. We've shown this map on some of our shows over the years where you can see by the colors there, you know, those nations, the yellow there in the middle, allied with Germany. And then the green ones, you know, together with radical Islam. It's all coming together. We really don't know what we're in store for. Neil Ferguson doesn't know the full extent of it. Good for him in just at least asking the question and saying, you know, it's not foolish to wonder if we're in World War III. But the sure word of Bible prophecy, I mean, that's the anchor for our soul. That's the foundation. At the trumpet, in recent years, we've had articles, an alliance between Arab nations and Europe, or you can go to why the trumpet watches. These are some of the more timeless, you know, similar to that video you just saw there. Trends that we at the Trumpet keep our eyes on. Iran and Europe are heading for a clash of civilizations. I mean, right now you're seeing a clash, a pretty big clash between Iran and America, together with Israel, Judah. And as I've said yesterday, I mean, the precedent, I didn't get to the article at germanforeignpolicy.com, but I mean, the precedent's now there for a German-led Europe to come against Iran like a whirlwind, because they keep pushing and pushing and pushing. Like that guy says, I mean, the Ayatollah, that's not just one person. That's a position. That's a title. So, you know, you can have all the memes in the world to make fun of the fact that as soon as the next Ayatollah is announced, I mean, he's dead. And then the next one after that, he's dead. But you can't just get rid of a problem that has the support of 300 million Muslims. Think about what's happening in Cyprus and just how, you know, you're beginning to see this push between radical Islam and Europe. Europe, as I've said this week, Europe's being drawn in, just as your Bible prophesies. It's all right. I mean, for now, you see America as the front runner, and everyone's given sort of a fair bit of cover because of that. But if you're looking at some of the smaller headlines, you're seeing some electrifying developments. Prophecies of God accelerating. This was Sky News about that drone strike on Cyprus from a few days ago, clip 3.
They can also confirm that a Shahed-like drone, which targeted RAF Akrotiri on the 2nd of March, that was the drone that came in at midnight. They are saying that that was not launched from Iran. So that is interesting and significant. They are not giving us any information as yet as to where they think that was launched from. But a drone that hit RAF Akrotiri, that was the one I think that caused damage to the airstrip, did not come from Iran, was not launched from Iran. Obviously, may well have come via Iran.
Probably through Lebanon. And here you have Israel crushing Hezbollah at the moment. And Lebanon prophesied to swing over to that Psalm 83 camp with Germany. So many significant developments on large scale themes and medium scale, small scale, everything coming into play, everything falling into place. Reuters says France ramps up military aid to Lebanon as Macron calls on Hezbollah and Israel to halt attacks. You can expect to see Lebanon swing more in the direction of Europe. And of course, radical Islam doesn't like the fact that Europe is right at its doorstep in Cyprus. These are coming explosions. Richard Palmer had a piece at the Trumpet recently, Make Europe Great Again, and how that President Trump is behind this push for Europe to become an empire, for Europe to build its military machine, a new military machine. The Atlantic derided President Trump's strategic document as incoherent babble. They are wrong. It's part of a unified plan. America closely polices North and South America while retreating from the rest of the world. With the Western Hemisphere secure, why should America worry about what happens anywhere else? You see it with the Venezuela operation, with what President Trump's doing with the southern border, things he's stating about Greenland and, you know, Panama. At the moment, of course, he's preoccupied with Iran, but just watch. It's all done with the view of eventually handing over the mess to Europe. Look, you take care of that part of the world. We've got North and South America to worry about. We've got America first. And Europe, I mean, they love it. Germany, anyway, the Daniel Ape Man, anyway, loves it. You mean America's severing the tie and we're going to be able to build a German war machine and nobody's going to bat an eye at that? That's what's happening. And you only hear about it here at the Trumpet. That's why you need to subscribe to the magazine. As we pull together so many of the articles we have at our website, thetrumpet.com, the magazine, we send out 10 issues per year. There's no cost or obligation. The subscription's already been paid for. Just call our operators today and request your free copy of The Trumpet magazine. That's all we have time for on today's show because we want to leave a few minutes left for this week's edition of World Watch. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show. We thank you for joining us, some of you, all week, and we'll see you next time.
Pakistan and Afghanistan went to war on February 26th, and the conflict has likely already killed hundreds of people. What would normally be front-page news has been buried by the war with Iran. Pakistan has the Islamic world's largest military and its only nuclear arsenal. Afghanistan is controlled by the Taliban. The Pakistani Taliban, largely independent from the Afghan Taliban, operates in both nations and has attacked Pakistan's government for years. Pakistan has responded to recent Pakistani Taliban attacks with airstrikes against its hubs in Afghanistan's territory, including its two largest cities, Kabul and Kandahar. On February 22nd, Pakistan struck two Afghan provinces, claiming to target terrorist training camps. Afghanistan and the United Nations both reported that more than 10 civilians were killed in these strikes. In response, Afghanistan launched a major military attack against Pakistan on February 26th. Pakistan's defense minister soon after declared open war on Afghanistan. Jesus Christ prophesied that the time preceding his return would be filled with war. The fact that a conflict of this magnitude is being overshadowed by yet another war points to the calamities he prophesied. To learn more, read Nuclear Armageddon is at the door. France and Germany announced a major step toward deeper nuclear deterrence cooperation on March 2nd, with Germany set to participate in French nuclear exercises and conduct joint visits to strategic sites. French President Emmanuel Macron, speaking at a submarine base in Brittany, outlined plans to expand France's nuclear arsenal and extend forward deterrence to European allies, including through joint drills. The two partners will also establish a high-level nuclear steering group to optimize the combination of conventional missile defense and French nuclear capabilities. Details were deliberately vague. France is not part of NATO's nuclear planning group. Even the U.S. could be kept in the dark about the strategies and abilities France and Germany are coordinating until they are used. Germany consistently claims it is acting in agreement with NATO interests, yet its actions undermine the strength of the alliance, which was originally established to keep its military down. To learn more about why this increased nuclear cooperation is significant, read Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury's article, France's Deadly Ignorance About Germany. One of the most consequential trade agreements of the first half of this century is going into effect, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen announced February 27th. Despite large-scale protests by farmers, despite opposition from the European Union's second-largest economy, France, despite members of European Parliament demanding judicial review, and despite the fact that courts have not yet judged it to be legal, the EU-Mercosur trade deal will be provisionally implemented before summer. Mercosur is the Latin American trade bloc of Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay, and Uruguay. It represents almost 300 million people and has a combined gross domestic product of $2 to $3 trillion. After 25 years of negotiation, the agreement was finally signed on January 17th, largely in response to combative and erratic trade policies by the U.S. A slim majority in the European Parliament declined to ratify the agreement and attempted to delay its implementation by sending it to the European Court of Justice. Von der Leyen has moved to implement it anyway. Full implementation still has its hurdles, but Germany is determined to push through no matter the opposition. To learn why this trade agreement is so significant, read Germany Unites the World Against America from the March 2026 Trumpet. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.